Everyone can hear me? So please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. And we're looking at verses 12 to 13 this morning. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. Hebrews 4. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Let me just pray before we open. Heavenly Father, Lord, we have come to experience your word, to worship you, but to also learn from you. And so we pray that your word would cut deep this morning, that it would expose things in our hearts and our minds, things that we wouldn't suppress, Lord, but that we would come and offer up to you in repentance. So, Holy Spirit, please come and make this a profitable time. Speak, O Lord, for your people are listening. Exposed. We've all seen the headlines and the stories. There's a celebrity or a politician, even a preacher or an influencer, and they're caught out on display for all to see. You know, we've seen them, a leaked text message online or a video or an image, and the secret is out. There is nowhere to hide. The double life that they have been living is completely exposed. Maybe you recall from last year the couple that was caught at the Coldplay conference, at the Coldplay concert. And they were caught on the kiss cam cuddling. And they were not married. And suddenly, that sin was all over social media. Just about everyone knew about it. But there's another exposé that's not really covered in the news. And it reads this: exposed, Brad Hibbard. Every sin, every thought, every evil deed, all laid bare before God, with nowhere to hide. But not just Brad, but also Roy and James and Steve. In fact, the entire congregation from Ingerding Congregational Church and on to the rest of the world is all exposed and laid bare before God. And there is no way of escape. You know, the public scandals that we see online, they're soon overshadowed by another one that comes. But this is not so with God. One day, we are all going to stand before our Creator. And we're going to give an account for our lives. And there's not going to be any second chances. There's not going to be any sweeping it under the rug. The consequences are going to be eternal, and the judgments are going to be final. And so this is the big idea from the text that we're looking at this morning, from Hebrews 4, 12 to 13, that we are exposed. Now, this is a well-known passage that we often, you know, speak about when we talk about the power of the Word of God, and we should. But did you know it really becomes even more weighty when we consider it in its context in Hebrews? You know, these verses really come as a conclusion to a warning that the author has been giving since chapter 3. And he's been going on again and again, this main idea: make sure that you have entered the rest of God. Make sure that you have stopped trying to earn your own righteousness by your own works. make sure that you have truly come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are not self-deceived, that you don't have a hardened heart. And so why must we heed these warnings this morning? To make sure that we are of the faith? Well, because here in verses 12 to 13, it shows us two realities. That we firstly are exposed by the word, and secondly, we stand exposed before God. So let's unpack this. Firstly, we need to understand that we are exposed by the word because it is alive and active. Now, this should not be anything new to you. Now, this is not really a theological belief that we just have stored away in our minds that we never really draw upon. No, this is something real and experiential for us. You know, these are ancient words, are they not? Changing me and changing you. It's not just a history book recording down the history of Jesus and believers in the Old Testament. It is alive. And how is this the case? Well, it's because the word is the medium through which God, the living God, still communicates to us today. The word is alive because God speaks to us through it. It's not really a book that we necessarily read, but more one that reads us. And this is what the Spirit of God is doing. As we read the scriptures, we are transformed by it. It breaks us down. It exposes things in us in order to build us back up into the image of Christ. You know, and I would even love to hear stories, if you are keen to share after the service, share it with me about how the word has transformed your life. But let's just pause for a second, because all that I just said about the word and how we experience it, does that actually resonate for you personally? You know, can you proclaim amen to the power of the word of God in your life? Or is it just another book that you read and gather information from? Because if the word has never really gripped you, you are the person that the author is addressing in this passage. That this is not just a dead book. This book is alive, and the warnings are very much real as well. That you need to be afraid if you are failing to enter the rest of God. That you have not come into God's fold and truly believed in the Lord Jesus. We need to take these warnings seriously if the word of God has not taken hold in our hearts and our lives. Now, it could also be the case that maybe it's just been a long time since you feel that the word has transformed you. Maybe you're kind of running on borrowed time for a bit, that it's been maybe 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years since you've experienced God in his word. But please, again, take these warnings seriously. We have a God who is alive today that still speaks to us through his word. Come and fall in love again with the word and experience the power of God. Because the danger is that this word is not just alive, but it is active. We are exposed by God's word because it is active and really dangerous. And this is what it says in verses 12. God's word is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, trying to understand this verse here can be a point of confusion for some. But I think it's very clear to understand what he's actually doing here. He's not trying to explain the inner workings of the body and the spirit and the soul. Rather, he's illustrating one real clear point. That there is nowhere too deep, nowhere too repressed, nowhere too spiritual that the word cannot pierce into. The word slices through it all. Joints, soul, spirit, marrow, if it's there, it stands no chance against the word of God. You know, a while back, I injured my knee, and it looked fine from the outside, but once I had an MRI scan on it, it revealed all sorts of issues that were going on inside, impossible to see from the outside. And here's the problem, that for us, our lives can be all the same. We can look great from the outside. We can have a great reputation even within our church community. You know, maybe our church attendance is awesome. And yet on the inside, our hearts and lives can be looking dreadful. And it's impossible for others to really judge the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We can only see what's on the outside. We can't know what's really going on inside. And we can be deceived. I'm sure you can think of people in your lives who have majorly let you down, who were not the person that you thought they were. You know, back in the Old Testament, as God was calling Samuel to anoint a new king, he warned him. God said, "People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And this is the issue. You can fool others. You can fool even your church community, but you've got no chance fooling God himself. The word of God will slice you open. And this is where an MRI can diagnose problems, but it doesn't have the solution. It can only tell you what's wrong. But the word of God, in its double-edged nature, it not only slices in to reveal the issues, but it also is like the surgeon with the ability to be able to solve the problem. That's what the word of God does. In verse 12, it says it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's not just important about what you do on the outside, but the intentions and attitudes that come from within. When we read the word, it exposes us. You know, it slices out our pride. It exposes our sinful, wretched state. It condemns us. It brings us low. It shows us how far short we fall. You know, in Romans 3, they tear into the nature of humankind. That there is none righteous, not even one. That their feet are swift to shed blood. That there is no fear of God before their eyes. And this is what the word of God does to us. When we come to it honestly, the word of God causes us to be honest with our true condition. You know, one of the problems I think that we can have today is that when we're sharing the gospel with someone, is that we too quickly go to the good news before they've truly understood the bad. Before they've truly understood that they are a sinner in need of a savior. You know, we can pump them up with promises of hope and life and meaning, and they'll take that on board, but they may not realize that they are under judgment. They want to just add Jesus onto their lives before realizing they actually have to deal with their sinful nature. And so we need to let the word of God pierce and attack areas of sin and unbelief in our lives. This is what the author has been reiterating over and over again. Make sure that you do not have a hardened heart, a wicked, unbelieving heart. And that's what the word does here. Really, what it's doing is exposing our unbelief. When we sin, we show our unbelief before God. Now, I'm not really referring here to the final judgment, but rather as Christians, you know, when we try to earn our righteousness by our works, we show God that we don't trust in Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Or when we steal or are dishonest to gain, we show that we don't trust in our God to provide for our every need. And when we say that we believe and that we are Christians, and yet we go out there into the world and we live sinful lives before those who are not Christian, you know what we tell them? We show our unbelief that God doesn't make his people holy. That's what we preach to them. And this is us resisting the word of God. You know, an example of this might be from 1 John 2, which says that if anyone hates a brother or sister, that he is in darkness and walks in the darkness. And what this passage there is telling you is that you are not allowed to hate your Christian brothers and sisters. But you could hear something like that, you could read it from the Bible, and think of someone in your life right now that you do actually hate. That you do have a strong hatred in your heart for them. And maybe as the word comes to convict you, you know, I know I need to deal with that, but no one's perfect at the end of the day. I know I'm covered by grace. I know that Jesus will forgive me. But have you honestly let the word have its way in your heart? Have you honestly let the word convict you at that point? Instead, you really need to own that sin. And so if there is someone that you hate, for example, then you need to go and pray for that person. And you can't stop praying for them until that hatred has left. You need to pray to God to ask him to love that person rather than hate, to remove those feelings, to come to God and repent and allow the word to work in your life. Because this is the freedom and power that comes from the word. This is what I love about the word, is that it actually brings true change in the believers. Without the word of God, we don't have any hope. But there might be other places in the Bible that you don't really like to go to. Areas that make you feel uneasy. But if there are verses that you know you just kind of want to skip over, then can I encourage you that those really are the verses that you need to spend more time studying and work out what it is about those verses that you don't like. And then read it over and over again to allow the word to slice through and reveal maybe sin in your heart. Because there, where the word of God has had its way in you, you will find repentance and freedom. And the burden lifted off. There you find joy. You know, King David warned us about this. In Psalm 32, he says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." You know, letting our sin hang on us and pushing it down and not dealing with it is a heavy, heavy burden. But when the word of God comes to expose, although it hurts in the moment, God comes through and with that double-edged nature, and he comes to lift off the burden. He brings forgiveness. He brings repentance. He brings freedom from that sin. He brings us into the light. And so as we read, as we study, as we listen to the word, it's doing its deep work, tearing into us, exposing many things. And we need to be open to it. We need to come to God's word ready to receive. You know, because there are those who reject what we read in this word. You know, and for many, they close the word of God. Especially those out in the world, they've turned away from the Bible. They've turned away from our God. Many reject the street preachers and those who evangelize publicly. But what they fail to realize is that you can escape the word of God by closing it, but you cannot escape its author. the Lord God Almighty, the Creator. And this is the second verse that we're looking at this morning. Because you can run from the Word, but you can't run from the God who wrote it. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him of whom we must give an account." God is all-knowing. He is all-seeing. There is no thought or motive. There's no secret corner in your life that escapes the gaze of God. The psalmist writes this in Psalm 139. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Now, this is a passage of comfort for the psalmist, you know, because he knows God. God is one who he submits to. But if you are not in a right relationship with your Creator, then there is nowhere to hide. There is nowhere to run. You only have a limited amount of time before you will meet your Maker. And you can fill up your lives with so many distractions, and our culture has gotten really good at that. So many passions and pursuits and things that we can pour our lives into. But we will all find out, and as many have found out already, that soon you come to your deathbed, if you get that chance, and then soon you will have to meet your Maker. And we all, Christian and non-Christian, are going to stand before the judgment throne of God and give an account for our lives. We're going to give an account for our sin. We're going to give an account for how far short we fell. Jesus warned us of this punishment in Matthew 10, verses 28. He said, "Don't be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, he's saying, don't fear the murderers, because there is something far more terrifying if you are not ready to meet your Maker. Are you ready to stand exposed before your God? You know, the language here of exposed in the original, the idea of being laid bare, is interesting. It can mean to lay bare the neck. You know, kind of like a wrestler who is pinned down and he's basically got a forfeit. He's got no defense left. Or like a sacrificial animal that's stretched out with the knife to the throat. You know, exposed before the blade, ready to be offered. And are you ready to stand before your God laid bare? Have you truly entered the rest? Have you failed to put your faith and trust in Christ? One day we're going to stand exposed and give an account. And what are you going to say to God at that moment? Are you going to say, "Lord, Lord, I did many mighty works in your name"? Or, "Look at my life, I tried my best. You know, I tried to be a good person"? Because if it is anything but pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're in deep trouble. If there is any hope for you to stand exposed before your God, especially before the judgment throne, that you would plead with Him that your trust is only in the Lord Jesus. That you say you've got no defense of yourself, but that you have put your faith and trust in the Lord who died for your sins. And that it is only by Christ's righteousness that you can be clothed. That can be your only hope. And that's where the author leads us to after these verses. He teaches us about our great high priest. And that's who Jesus is. And so that exposure should drive us to the answer that God gives us. We are exposed by the word, but that should drive us to Christ for forgiveness. Christ who stood in our place. Christ who lived the life that we failed to. Christ who endured the temptation and yet he did not sin. And really, that judgment throne that we will stand before, if we are in Christ clothed in his righteousness, it will then be really a throne of grace. And so, brothers and sisters, we all must seriously consider the warning that the author has been dishing out to us here. Are you certain that you are a true believer? And how can we know? How can we test this? Well, consider your own motives and attitudes. As you come to the word, let it expose you. Is the word alive to you? And if not, don't trust in your great reputation. Don't trust in the idea that you're a good person. Because how is that going to stand? How are you going to be able to hold that up against the glory and holiness of the Lord? While there is still time, do not harden your hearts. While you still have a chance, don't be like the Israelites who failed to enter the rest of God. Come humbly before him and full of faith. You need the heart surgery. But through his word, God will bring salvation and strength and restoration to your life as a potter molds the clay. But as I mentioned before, it could also be the case that you are a believer and you know that you trust in your Lord, but you are struggling right now. You're struggling to read the word and apply it. You know, I'm sure many of us have experienced this. I've experienced this myself. But can I encourage you that even when it feels rough, even when it feels like a struggle, that you come and open God's word again and let it have its way in you and consider every aspect of your life. You know, maybe it's an issue of priorities. Maybe you've got too much on your plate, but also maybe there is hidden sin in your life that needs to be exposed, things that you are not addressing. And if you're still struggling, I'm sure your elders will want to spend time with you. So please reach out to them. And also, I would love to talk to you as well after the service. But if you are a firm believer and God's word is alive to you, then let me encourage you to continue to let God's work continue to work in your heart. Don't be complacent or happy with where you are. God still has plenty of work to do in your life, and you can glorify him until the day when he takes you home. The Spirit, through his word, rebukes, it corrects, it encourages, it digs deep, it cuts. And even when it hurts, it challenges us. And this is the best place to be, humbled under the word of God. This is the word that we can trust with our whole hearts. Amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know all the hearts here. You know all the different stages and things that they are dealing with. And Lord, we pray for those, Lord, who are struggling here this morning. I pray that you would fill them with comfort and strength, but Lord, that you would drive them with a desire to your word to be transformed and to be renewed and restored. Lord, we pray for hard hearts here who have not experienced the word as alive. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would turn those hearts of stone into a heart of flesh. Show them the glory of Jesus Christ, that there is no hope outside of Jesus, that they are on their way to hell and that they need your salvation. Lord, pierce into their hearts. And Lord, we pray for those who are doing well. Lord, may they not grow complacent. Lord, may they dig in deeper to your word. And may you use them, Lord, even more mightily in their lives. Transform them even more, Lord, that they can glorify you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that it is only by you that we can stand even today. And we await to meet you one day in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.